the meeting order. In your packet, you have an agenda, the items that I'd like to discuss tonight. Maybe we can go through those and then pick around anything that anybody else might want to discuss. The first item of business is the committee operations through next January. If you recall, what we were charged to do in the resolution was come up with a preliminary report, which we did January of this year, and a final report relating to state energy policy next year. To do that, if you kind of pull out your long sheet and just recapping what happened last summer, after about 6 weeks of wrestling with the idea of state energy policy and trying to get a handle on it, and it became apparent to me it was just way too big. It was way too big for me, and the committee could meet only at limited time, so we decided to zero in on some specific issues and learn what some of those problems and potentialities were, and lay the groundwork for the actual formulation of policy. We haven't done anything, obviously, during this legislative session while we're wrestling with some of the issues. But anyway, the long sheet that's in your packet is a proposed schedule which we'll attempt to implement or discuss first and come up with a schedule that everybody sees as reasonable. And in order to implement coming up with this, number one, specific legislation that we deem necessary, number two, a written policy for the state. Just going down, next month, and we'll discuss the draft of the issues and options paper, but the tentative schedule, and anybody speak up now, this is fairly informal. Final draft of the issues and options paper will be done next month, and then it will be printed and distributed in July, just sent out to a fairly healthy mailing list. I was sort of figuring I'm using the permanent fund. They developed a very broad mailing list last year, which covered all sectors, all facets of the state, to get some real concrete comments on this. Then in midsummer, July and August, we'll put the responses to the publication together and do some husky research on the specific issues that have been most noted. Then toward the end of August, we'd have a committee meeting, and I specifically picked these times, the end of August and the end of the middle of November, so that they were after election period, so we don't get charged with electioneering and using the committee to do the, you know, as a political basis. That it worked out all right, and hell, I don't care if they're going to say that. Folks probably will anyway, and that's, they can go piss up a rope as far as I'm concerned. But at least it came out convenient. And so that's, in essence, what the recommendation is. But we'll get the committee together at the end of August and review all the comments and look at the specific areas for legislation. And September and October, we'll take these specific ideas for legislation, turn them over to legislative drafting when they should be pretty slow, and have them put together this actual draft legislation. Then the end of November, the middle of November, we'll go out with a set of public hearings. I think what we'll do, if we can get in order to keep the price down and cover as much area as possible, probably break down to subcommittees of two or three and have somebody cover southeastern, somebody cover central, have Al probably cover his area, somebody go up north, Fairbanks and north, so we can get the public input. But you know, we don't have to spend a lot of time and a lot of money traveling with the whole committee, and yet we can get out there and get the input.
Would some staff member travel with the subcommittee?
I think that'd be.
Well, I think it should for minutes and notes. contacts and whatnot.
Good idea.
If available, otherwise you have to pick up somebody in a community to take shorthand or whatnot.
Yeah, okay. Take all the comments back and plug those into the draft legislation. By this time, we'll have the draft, by the time of the public hearings, it's envisioned we'll have not only the draft of the final report, but we'll also have a draft of the legislation to take out to the public hearings. And then December, we'll probably have our final meeting, try and sign off on the legislation, have the final sign off on the final report. And that's about what it looks like. Does anybody see any problem with that or any suggestions? Because this is all draft stuff right now.
I just agree with holding off on the hearings after the election.
Yeah.
Then do it.
I want to point out there's some work in some of the executive agencies, particularly Clarissa's shop, that's going to be done over the summer, that it'll be important to have that before the committee really gets into the intensive work on the bills.
Yeah, also, if we would know of it, sometimes you know in advance if some, let's say, congressional delegation is holding maybe energy hearings in Anchorage or someplace, might tie in with this committee work or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, of course we wouldn't know now, but, or, like I know the Rural Electric Co-ops have a state meeting, usually in August or September, somewhere, I don't know where they have it next year, that might contribute something if a committee, perhaps some committee member attended, not attended anyway, but might contribute something to the committee.
Have you done items within the budget which are specifically for some types of energy studies, and just as a matter of course, we might observe. And it's supposed to be $245,000 for the geothermal study of Golden Springs, just as a as something to monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a, anything that we can do that individually or as a committee, collectively, what have you, that we can do to follow what's going on, like Clarissa's shop. So we've got any number of things, it seems like, that are ongoing, and the Pilgrim Springs study and, you know, the congressional things, there's going to be a lot of activity, and it's impossible for any one person to keep up with it.
Well, I know in October I'll be going to a national energy convention outside, which I may pick up some information on the national level sooner, which I'm sure it will. But I can turn that into the committee and go into it.
Yeah.
In that
regard,
it's a little bit off the subject, but I think, have you all seen this newsletter that's put out by the Western Interstate Energy Board?
No, I don't
think so. I'll just circulate it. You might take a look at it. It's one of the best I've ever seen, and we get a lot of the money across. I don't know if it'd be worthwhile to have you all put on the list, but it just sort of boils it down to issues that are in the Western states.
I would too, because I'm a director of the Home Electric Association, and I'm just energy. I know I offer every dollar.
What's short when you don't have to spend
a
long time leaping through it, finding what you're really interested in? I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, great. Jack, we're going through the stuff in the packet. We've put together a proposed schedule to get to where we're going, which is a final energy policy written in December, as well as any needed legislation. We just sort of went through the schedule. If you can take a look at it, if you have any comments or suggestions, where we're at. The budget. Everybody's always concerned about the budget.
Okay.
copy of it.
That's fairly self-explanatory. We have 40,000 in the operating budget. Is that, that's right. If anybody can see anything that the auditor subtracted should be or might be, holler out. It's a pretty tight budget. There's also a recap sheet of what we had last year, what we spent, what we didn't spend. And we had a balance of, through the end of this fiscal year, 20 smacks as of the end of April.
We spent about 40 last year.
Right.
So I was wondering how come Bonnie Jack got 58 cents more than Lisa got.
Bonnie Jack probably worked more.
Well, I don't know for... Everything's going up 10%. I don't know how 10% the magic figure, I guess, you know. I don't know. Of course, your staff probably worked this out now pretty close.
Thanks.
But they can live within it. This is fine. But I don't know. You want to take the money back.
Yeah. And we only have 6 months. We had 60 for 12 months before.
Yeah.
We only have 6 months. So we're up a little bit, but we've got to travel.
Yeah.
Which is a...
That's a big item.
Yeah, which is $7,000 or $8,000.
Are you going to actually print this thing up in a formal,
That's why we included this in the package.
Oh, okay.
What do I have printing cost?
That part of the contractual?
Part of the contractual and some of that contingency and then for this printing, it comes out of the remaining 20,000 of this year's budget.
You get to keep that?
Yes.
You get that Gary over there and keep?
The 20?
No, it's not a Gary. But this publication will be put out in June.
Oh, it'll be contracted before
right.
the...
Right,
oh,
so
I
that
see.
The
oh,
expenses
well.
Will be...
Yeah, oh, and that's, yeah, that'll take care of that.
So that's about that of the budget. Somebody has a comments or suggestions?
You're gonna set up shop in Anchorage?
I think so. I don't know exactly how, but probably just a one little office. There's not gonna be a whole hell of a lot of interim work. Just a an office in somebody's office building, I imagine.
There are existing legislative facilities that are rented by the legislature that have been used by the D2 Steering Council and the Alcoholism Committee Office and the Legislative Information Office are all in the same building, and I understand there is some space open there,
right.
Which puts it in right with the rest of the Legislative Office there in Anchorage.
Is there intent to deal with, coordinate, mesh with the proposed folks?
Yeah, I talked to Frank about that, and he was planning on zeroing in, especially on the ABEC problem. And the governor had contacted us before, saying, "Why don't you take this on?" And frankly, it's a little bit out of our scope, I think. And when Frank asked, what I thought of that, somebody's got to do it. Doesn't appear that the administration is going to. I'm not taking a shot at any of the administration, believe me. But we're again leaning more toward policy than solving specific problems. If we start trying to solve specific problems, we may get bogged down.
I'd still like to, regardless of whether that is done or not. A very specifically oriented committee doesn't get funded. I'd still like to see the rural energy needs as a component of our activities.
Oh, very definitely. Yeah, there's no question about that. Probably more rural than the scope of the work will probably be more rural than urban.
I might point out in this document that was one of the things that in developing this report we found out was that the greatest opportunity for new solutions to energy needs is in the rural areas, and starting on page 24 of the report, we listed several of the major areas where legislation could be needed. And there's starting out with intent legislation, going into some specifics. And on page 25, there's mention of we work with the Rural Energy Committee. In addition, some of the other things get into financing of energy technologies, which can answer some of the rural needs. In addition, some of the loan programs and other financial mechanisms which could be considered to help out in that area where the biggest problem is. There's really no real question about that in any energy report, any energy thing I've seen in the state, is that that's where our problem is.
Can you just explain to me real briefly what Senator Ferguson's plans are? I've heard talk of this thing, but he wants to establish an interim committee to address the rural energy, is that right?
Yeah, address to some of the problems in the rural energy. I haven't seen anything in writing. I talked to him once on the phone and once face-to-face on it, and it seemed like he really wanted to get into the specific problem of the absolutely skyrocketing energy costs in rural Alaska, especially as related to AVAC.
Their problem there, you know, the feasibility of those were set up on 30 cent a gallon fuel. Fuel jumped to $1 a gallon, $1.20. You know, the feasibility is totally there, and it's 43% of your cost is for that.
In addition, the per capita energy use is among the highest in the nation in the rural areas due to, in some areas, inadequate insulation and some other problems.
That deep freeze.
Yeah.
Use lots of
people. What are you paying out for that?
It's either 17 or 19 cents.
No.
No. But it's,
that's a hell of a lot more.
It's
so much to get away.
Some places around 24 to close to 40.
A lot of 30 cents, I
think. 34 cents.
Was it 4 cents an acre?
3
cents.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
If you're on electric heat, you
I think,
use over
1,100
kilowatts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's meant.
It's meant 35 cents.
Yeah, I think the average about, average about 6 cents. If you take it off for electric heat. Mm-hmm.
I just delivered a letter to Bill from the governor. Basically, it's addressing this problem. I think the AVEC thing stirred it all up because of the rate increase request. And the governor basically decided that the administration coordinated through our office is going to take a look at the rural energy problem and the particularly the alternative solutions or approaches that can be taken. And we're requesting that if the Energy Policy Committee and their deliberations can assist us so that what we're coming after will be consistent. And it's by no means intended for you to get into the problem-solving area, but I really feel that there is no definitive policy as such. This is something I think that the committee could be most helpful with, because it's difficult coming up with alternative plans without a policy you're working from, because different legislation that's passed reflects different approaches. So this is what we're planning on doing with the funds that we have available. I'm really pleased to hear that Senator Ferguson's going to hopefully get his committee going. So hopefully by next year, in the legislative session, at least in February or so, that we can have some definite ideas. And that's the approach that we're going to take, and we hope that this kind of consideration can be included in the work that's going to be done between now and then as time commits.
I know I've got information at home, but I don't think I can get it to work. Where the REA sent their technical down into the well down in South America and a lot of countries in South America into the what we call the rural area, which you could be talking to assist them in their electrical program. And it's been quite a successful, in fact, I had a chance to go down there. And it's been a rather successful program. I think I've got some information on that.
Great.
Might send it to you or
appreciate it.
Or through the committee here. I'll see what I can do when I get home.
Okay, great.
Is it mostly hydro and wind?
No, it's just four forms of it. But some of it is hydro, yeah, but some of it is diesel, which surprised me. I mean, diesel generation. But of course, we know what the problem is with diesel generation, isn't it? Brush is just the cost of fuel. That's one of the major problems of these things, unless you can get some cheaper fuel.
And the transportation.
Yeah,
well,
that's what, yeah.
Well, even that, what's going to be even more costly in the next few months, or the next 18 months, I believe, the oil distributors, fuel distributors, aren't going to use drums anymore. So, I don't know what people are going to use, but those people, for every drum, had to put a $15 deposit. And many of them get their fuel only by drum.
So they're going to have to bring a drum to the bulk plant and get it filled up or something?
I don't know. I don't know if drums will be used. They won't refill them.
That's
the
new policy?
Drums.
Yeah? That they
you
won't
know,
refill?
No.
Has that always been the policy?
No, that's been come. That's a policy that's been being developed over the last 10 years.
Like 500 gallon tank.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to go get a tank.
Well, we don't have transportation system. We don't have trucks that we can, we don't have roads that these trucks can go on. People in the villages usually figure, well, we use about 18 to 20 drums a winter, and they get their annual fill of 18 drums, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then they say, that's their own drum. They've had a test on it. Most of them have had them since way before they had to put that $15 deposit in. But now that's going to have its own impact. But beyond that, air carriers. You know.
Department of Transportation last year tried to prohibit transporting fuel.
I know.
Airplanes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I brought that up at our first meeting.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds to me that we could hit crisis stage by midwinter next year, 18 months away, if people can't get their drums.
I don't know what the exact timetable is, but I've gotten letters from the people back home that knew what the wholesaler had. It's a combination of reasons, among them insurance. It might be worthwhile for us to maybe have Joe check into why wherefores of the insurance problem with reference to bulk plant operators and refilling fuel drums. I could understand, you know, the prohibition on carrying a drum of gas in a passenger carrying airplane, but a freight carrying airplane, which is used only for freight, sometimes you've got camps and stuff which are away from land or over water or way inland away from transportation, and the only way you can handle haul that is either in 5 gallon cans or 55 gallon drums. I could understand transportation not wanting to haul an unsealed drum, but we can't afford sealed drums. We can't afford to buy a new drum for every drum of fuel.
Yeah,
years.
Basically that's what they're saying. You know, that's how you gotta commute.
So, you know, this might be...
Who is they?
Well, I don't know. Standard Oil
Standard
is
Oil.
The major distributor out there,
yeah.
And they're the ones that are...
I've got Leonard
adopting this policy.
Maybe I'll...
Well, what are they giving as a reason? Safety and transportation or cost or...
I think it's primarily safety. And, could be contamination of the fuel.
How do they get it? How do they get it? Get most of the fuel to Nome now? Isn't it by barge and lighter?
Yeah,
yeah.
To Nome it is.
Well, yeah,
but
then you got these other places.
see, as Nome, Considine, Barrel, those are with an Alaska kind of
secondary, you know, although primary transportation pumps, they're basically secondary level in the transportation site. And then beyond that, you've got subregions, which are a third layer down, and then you've got little villages, where you've got to go.
Just why getting away from oil and into things like geothermal and wind could provide a long-range solution out there where you don't have to bring it in, where those are available.
And there are, I haven't heard of a crisis yet, maybe we're over the hump. Usually about now, there are communities out of fuel and more running out.
Yeah.
And when the first boat gets there, I don't know, but if it's too rough, well.
We had a list of about 25 villages earmarked that we thought were going to have trouble this year, but the last two winters have been mild, and that's part of the reason that the thing hasn't happened. But anytime we get a normal winter, there's going to be some real problems. I'll check into this as well. I was aware of the sealed drum that they were initiating this, but I honestly wasn't aware that it would increase the cost that much.
Well, I don't know if that's the particular reason,
yeah.
But those are among them.
Right. I'll check into
this. The draft of a sort of an explanatory brochure and is also in the packet. It's that thick document. The idea behind this is to try and lay out some of the options, some of the problems, some of the situations that we have today. I'd like, if possible, can't obviously not stop and read it now, but in the memo that's in there, ask you to sit down and mark it up to your heart's content. Send me the draft back, and we'll incorporate all the comments into a final draft, which will then go to the printer, subsequently go out to the general public and asking them, you know, to respond and to comment. We have to start someplace, and this is general in a number of areas, but we've got to get out to the folks. And this seems to be the best way to do it.
This is that.
Yeah.
This one you want to be contracted by June, yeah. Before end of June.
I'll do it, Bill.
Sorry,
I'll do it. I mean, take it back then.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we'll just take everybody's comments and put it back in there. And that's about the. That's about what we have. First, we can go through that.
Pardon?
We can go through that and get it back in. Anything else that you'd like to bring up?
You know, when I first got this notice, and this meeting on my first. My first thought passed my mind was the fact that I was going to file for re-election with the guy resigned from this committee. And then after I got to thinking it over more and more, there might be anybody back here next year. So we're all fine.
We're all semi-lame ducks, is what you're saying.
It's a cinch I'm not going to be, but you know, we're all lame ducks in a way, I guess. So I'll hang on to it if we can get somebody we know that like the speaker can do it for somebody that
since most of the activities is going to be between now and the end of your tenure, you know, and our report is early next year, I don't see why you throw away the first year. And, you know, I think that, you know, Your office is still on January 12th or something.
Well, yeah, time to have a special session.
Particularly with the background you have in the business.
Well, I haven't contributed much yet, but I think I can now. But get shook of campaigning all the time.
You're not going to resign your seat.
Oh, Oh, no, no, I'm not resigning, see, because I think it's gonna be a special session.
They've gone all night, you haven't said.
Yeah, I know it.
Too many people have started to say that, like, I use a different thought.
But go home now.
I hope they don't have one.
Go home now and come back later for a special session.
I think it's gonna be on. I think if you call a special session, you might have 14 or 15 folks show up.
Show up.
Well, it wouldn't be till after the primaries, I'm sure of that. If they have one.
Yeah.
What happens to those who got, who are incumbents, but got defeated and don't wanna come back?
Well, they definitely.
Send the state troopers after.
Yeah. All the members of the legislature, they call the house.
Well, I haven't read this yet, but it might be, depending on, you know, some of the specific recommendations in there and the comments you get to meet, let's say sometime in June or shortly after the session gets out to review that, if there is any major concern about it.
You mean next week?
That's right, it's next week, isn't it?
That's the problem.
Back in August, when the legislature gets there.
Well, we tried to, you know, we tried to jacket the meetings around so it would impose on the committee members as little as possible, and not appear to be politically oriented, which it's certainly not. And if necessary, if there are major suggestions and changes, we'll either call the committee together, or I'll poll the committee by the telephone, explain the situation, see if they wanna get together again.
If there are major disagreements, we could send out a second round for comment.
Yeah.
That might be the better way to do it.
Okay? Thank you very much.
I want to look for finance.